Welcome to Resurrection Sunday. We are so glad that you're joining us here at North Place Online. You know, even though we can't be together on this Easter Sunday, it's amazing that we have this technology that allows us to gather together. Even when we're separate physically, we can gather together as a community, and we're thankful that you're with us today. I just want to say a special welcome to any guests who may be joining us today or any of our IEG brothers and sisters who are joining us here online. We're glad that you're here with us at North Place today. We're going to continue on this Resurrection Sunday, finishing up our I Am series. These powerful statements that we've been studying from the book of John are there as Jesus is helping us to understand more about himself and how we have relationship with our God through him. He uses some different illustrations. He uses illustrations like bread and light, which we've talked about over the last couple of weeks. I want to read to you from John chapter 1, verse 1. It says this: "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it." Really, the book of John is all about that. It's all about understanding the light, understanding Jesus. You see, many people in his day were confused about who Jesus was and what he was all about. Even today in 2020, in spite of all of the books that have been written and sermons that have been preached, people are still confused about who Jesus really is. There are many people who claim to have authority to speak about Jesus. There are others who even claim that they have the authority to speak for Jesus. Many major religions of the world give an explanation or an understanding about Jesus. Jesus is an undeniable force that has moved throughout human history. And throughout human history, many have sought to explain him or understand him. Those of us who are Christians, we know that we don't have to rely on the words of other people. We can study scripture. We can read the Bible for ourselves. And in fact, that's why we've been encouraging you during this month in your daily 20 to read from the book of John, because these I am statements are there. The words of Jesus are there for us to understand Jesus for himself. These expressions like "I am the bread of life" or "I am the light of the world," they've been powerful to us. They were powerful in his day, and they've been powerful to us even as we face the situation that we're facing right now around the world. With all that is happening, it's certainly reassuring to know that we have a source that is beyond our human capability. When our economies falter and fail, when our businesses shut down, when our ability to make a living ceases, we have a source that is beyond that. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." The bread that he offers us, the life that he offers us, is for eternity. In a world where it seems like there's so much confusion and there's so much fake news and there's so much lies that is out there, I'm so grateful. It's certainly reassuring that we have a God who gives direction, that is light in the darkness. No matter what darkness you're facing today, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." Well, this morning, we're going to keep going as Jesus continues to talk about himself. And I want to talk from a story that we find in John chapter 11. Jesus has some disciples who have been following him, Mary and Martha and a man named Lazarus. These are friends of Jesus. They're important people to Jesus. And for some reason, Lazarus becomes sick and he dies. Word comes to Jesus that Lazarus has died, and you can read about this in John chapter 11. When Jesus hears about the fact that Lazarus has died, he tells those that are around him, he says, "Listen, this this death, this sickness that Lazarus is experiencing. It's not going to be unto death, but the sickness is going to be used for the glory of God. This becomes very confusing to those who are following Jesus, because not long after that, they hear that Lazarus, in fact, has died. When they hear that, Jesus and his disciples go to where Mary and Martha are and where Lazarus has been buried. And I want to pick up in the story by reading verses 20 through 26 to you. It says this: when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" Talk about confusing. First of all, when Jesus hears about Lazarus being sick, he says to those who are around him, "This sickness is not unto death." And then they hear that, in fact, Lazarus has died. Jesus and the disciples travel there. And as I read to you, when Jesus begins to talk to Lazarus' sisters, they start asking him questions. And they say, "Jesus, if you had been here, he wouldn't have died. This wouldn't have happened." Jesus says, "No, he's going to be resurrected." And the sisters say, "Well, we understand in the last days, everything's going to work out." But Jesus is trying to help her to understand. "No, right here, right now, I am the resurrection and the life." See, Jesus used this moment to help those who were following him to understand that he had power over death. Even in that moment when all hope was lost and it seemed like Lazarus was gone forever, Jesus wanted them to understand that his power didn't end at death, that he had power over death. He said, "I am the resurrection and the life." All over the world today, people are gripped with fear. What if I get this virus? What if I get sick? What happens if I die? There are a lot of things in the world that causes us to be afraid, but this particular issue, this fear of death, seems to always have gripped humanity. Certainly people all over the world, maybe some of you who are even watching today, have struggled with the fear of death, especially related to this particular virus. Jesus, as he came to those who were following him that day, and he wanted them to understand, we do not have to fear death. He wants you and I to understand we do not have to fear death. He said to those who were following him, he said to Lazarus' sisters, "Listen, he who believes in me will live." But Jesus, what about Lazarus? He's dead right now. Jesus, at that point, turns and he goes and he says, "Roll back the stone on the tomb." And the sisters freak out. They don't understand. But Jesus, he's been in there a while. His body stinks. Death has already done what it's going to do. But Jesus wanted them to understand, "I am the resurrection and the life. I have power over death." Let's read verses 43 and 44. It says this: when he had said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out. His hands and his feet were wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." See, of these great I am statements that we read of Jesus, this statement that he says, "I am the resurrection and the life," is so important to us on this Easter Sunday, on this Resurrection Sunday. You see, what we celebrate when we celebrate Easter is that Jesus ultimately has the victory over sin, death, hell, and the grave. You see, this miracle happens right before Passover when Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. It's just days and weeks before Passover, and it happens to set in motion these events that ultimately lead to Jesus being crucified. When these religious leaders hear about Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead, they begin to get worried. They begin to freak out. Who is this leader? And if he does this and people begin to follow him, he could turn the world upside down. If they realize that he has power over death, they're going to follow him. They begin to get very worried. And you see Jesus and his disciples then going toward Jerusalem and ultimately into Passover, and Jesus being arrested and being nailed to a cross, and ultimately what we celebrate today, his raising himself from the dead. We see that as a demonstration of Jesus' power over death, hell, and the grave. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life." He said to us, we have nothing to fear because he was victorious over sin. John chapter 14, verses 6 and 7 says this: Jesus answered, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." You see, the whole book of John is all about people not knowing who Jesus really was and what he was all about. The purpose of these I am statements that we have been studying over the last several weeks is so that you and I could know who Jesus really was, and ultimately so that we could know God. When Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," he was correlating it with these other I am statements that he made about himself. When he said, "I am the life," he was referring to that statement, "I am the bread of life." In other words, I am the source of true life. As we talked about last week, when Jesus said, "I am the truth," he was talking about the fact that he was the light. He was the one who was going to show the way. When Jesus said, "I am the way," he wanted people to understand, "I am the way to the Father." See, no matter who you are today, no matter where you are, no matter where you're watching this video from, you and I must understand. Jesus declared this statement about himself: "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Let me read for you in John chapter 20, verses 19 through 20. This is after Jesus has been murdered, hung on a cross, has been in the tomb for 3 days, and the disciples have gone, and they've gone to the tomb, and they have found it empty on the third day, and they've gathered back together. And in verses 19 through 20, it says this: "On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, 'Peace be with you.' After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord." Jesus showed them his hands and his side because he wanted them to see where he had been pierced. He wanted them to understand, "It's me. I am the one. I'm the one that you have been looking for." Jesus gave us these great I am statements because he wanted us to know who he really was. And he wanted us to understand that he was the way to the Father. When Jesus said, "I am the resurrection," when he said that, what he was meaning was, listen, I have the power to overcome sin. What is the power of sin? The power of sin is death. What is death? Death is not the absence of life in this existence. Death ultimately is separation from God. When Jesus made the statement, "I am the resurrection and the life," What he was saying was, I am the one who causes us to have restored relationship with God. And when we have restored relationship with God, we ultimately have perfect peace. See, all over the world today, people are afraid, people are scared, people are worried about this virus, they're worried about the implication of this virus. Ultimately, people are worried about if this virus will cause them to die, and the fear of that death paralyzes many of us. But death, as we would experience in this life, really isn't the ultimate penalty. It isn't the ultimate problem. It is spiritual death. It is separation from God. That is the thing that causes us in our soul to fill a void. When Jesus came and said, I am the resurrection and the life, what he was saying is, I am the one who gives you ultimate peace because I restore relationship with God. You may be afraid today. In fact, you may be experiencing fear and not even really sure why you're experiencing fear. There may be an aching or a void or a hole in your soul that you can't even understand. Perhaps you have practiced religion your whole life. Perhaps you have gone to churches or temples or synagogues or practiced different religious rituals your whole life, and it's left you without peace. In fact, the people of Jesus' day, that was exactly the issue. They were following a religion. They were following rules and rituals and practices. They were doing all of these things, and even though they did these religious things, they still feared death. But what Jesus was coming to offer was peace. He was coming to offer life eternal. Regardless of how religious you may be, regardless of who you are or what you've done in your life, the message of Easter, the message of the gospel, the message of Jesus is that you and I can have peace. We can weather this storm of this virus. We can weather global economic meltdown. We can weather everything that is happening around us, and we can still be at peace because our hope is not in this life. Our hope is not in what we can control. Our hope is not in humanity, but our hope is in our Father in heaven. Our hope for righteousness, our hope for seeing God one day is not built in what we do or how we perform or what religion we practice. Our hope is resting in Jesus Christ. You may be listening to me today, and you may be a very religious person. You may be a very righteous person by all other people's standards, but you alone know what's going on in your soul today. The message I have for you is the same message that Jesus came to share. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. And through me, you can have relationship with God. And that relationship with God will give you peace. Ask yourself this question today. Be really honest with yourself. Are you living in peace? If the answer to that question is no, if you are not at peace today, then I have good news for you. And that good news is the message of Easter. You can have peace today. You may say, Pastor Randy, how do I have that peace? It's very simple, friend. We surrender our lives to Jesus. We don't put our trust and our hope in governments. We don't put our trust and our hope in what we can perform or what we can do or how righteous or religious we can be. We don't put our hope and our trust in other people. We put our hope and our trust in Jesus. We surrender ourselves to him. We recognize that he is the Son of God and that he, in fact, did raise himself from the dead, victorious over death, hell, and the grave, and that he is our King. Today, I want to lead you in a prayer. And if you're watching this video today and you don't have peace, I want you to pray this prayer with me. And as you pray this prayer with me, it's not a magic prayer. It's not a mythological prayer. It's a prayer from our soul of confession of our belief that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he has power over death, hell, and the grave, and that he is our Savior. If you need peace today, I want you to pray this prayer with me. Father God, I come to you today and I surrender my life to you. I surrender my fear to you. I surrender my doubt to you. God, there is so much that I do not know, that I do not understand, that I cannot control. And I recognize that on my own, I am not enough. I confess my sin to you, and I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to wash me in the blood of Jesus. I ask you to cover my sin. I ask you to come into my life. I surrender myself to you. Jesus, I confess you are the Son of God. Jesus, I confess you are the Lord of my life. I ask you to lead me and to guide me. Holy Spirit, I ask you to come into my life right now. Help me to know God in a way that I've never known him before. Lead me into relationship with him through my Lord Jesus Christ. Guide me and direct me to follow him for the rest of my life. Father, I confess all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.